Santa Monica, California. City by the sea, pearl of the Pacific, jewel of Sunset Bay, and home to many, many ghosts. Mihaela Rowe is a ghost tour guide in this blissful oceanside city. She shares with us a little of the history of the city and where you can get the best view of its otherworldly residents. She also gives us some insight into the real vampires from her home in Romania. Settle in for some sunny and sinister ghost stories today on Homespun Haints. Hello, Hainted Loves. Welcome to Homespun Haints. I'm Becky.
And I'm Diana.
And today on the show, we are going to be interviewing somebody that Diana met when we were in California. Mm-hmm. She went on a ghost tour in Santa Monica, and she met the lovely tour guide that we are going to be having on the show today. Her name is Mihaela. She's been giving tours with U.S. Ghost Adventures in Santa Monica. She's going to be giving us a lot of history of Santa Monica and the pier and why it's haunted. And she's also going to be telling us a little bit about some Romanian folklore, because that's awesome.
Small world.
We're really excited to have her on in a few minutes.
I had so much fun in Santa Monica. Santa Monica was so relaxing in some ways and so stimulating in others. I really felt like it was one of the perfect places to be a beach tourist, right? Because you can go down to the beach in the morning. And let me tell you guys, if you don't drink alcohol, you are winning at life in these kind of areas, because you get up at 6 a.m. and you go down there. Muscle Beach is completely blank, empty, nobody. There's a couple of people who are unhoused who are sleeping there, but they're not bothering anybody. It's an empty beach. And then you turn around, you go have lunch, and then you come back in the afternoon and it's crowded with billions of people.
The moral of the story is don't be hungover.
And then there was a fatal stabbing incident on the beach in the afternoon. So definitely go in the morning.
you say that like you're talking about having clams for lunch or something. Like, oh, yeah. And then there was a fatal stabbing.
It was nice in the morning. And then there was fatal stabbings in the afternoon. It got nice again by the
evening. It only happened once. It's a very safe town. This happens like once every few years.
It's a pretty rare circumstance. They said they get like less than 3 violent crimes per year in Santa Monica, and it just happened to be the day that I was there on the beach. Oh, wow.
You brought all those criminals from Tulsa with you, huh?
Probably. I've like magnetism for crazy people. But it was a nice time just kind of wandering around on the beach in the morning and then doing touristy stuff in the afternoon. The Third Street Promenade is actually a really cool place. They have big dinosaur statues.
Oh, cool.
And there's shops on both sides of the road, but it's just pedestrian road only. Mm-hmm. And then there's this amazing, I have to show you this photo. I'm going to post this photo for everybody else to see. And maybe Becky will leave this part in there so that you all look at it. There was a toy store that was just the most adorable toy store. And I want to find the picture of the thing that I found in the toy store that I think will remind you of me immensely.
Was it a lesbian werewolf?
It was better than a lesbian werewolf.
Okay, let's see. Is that the Virgin Mary with a rainbow octopus umbrella thing?
She's got a rainbow pride flag, and she's got a plate on her purple-haired head covered in rainbow fish. And she's taken one of the rainbow fish, and she is gently stroking it against her cheek stares wistfully into something.
It's like if Lisa Frank designed a church. This is what she would
Right? Oh my gosh, the first church of Lisa Frank. Rubbing your face on gay fish. This was a puzzle I found at the store that I was like, wow, that's the first puzzle I've actually identified with ever.
You did get it, right?
No, I did not get that because I did not have room in my luggage for a giant puzzle because I packed pajamas.
If you're a patron, you know what she's referring to.
So the rest of the group that went to California with me knows how very annoying I am when it comes to eating meals, because I can't hardly eat anything and I'm pissed off about it. And so I can't stop talking about it because I feel guilty about it.
You don't talk about it as much as you think you do. And it's not annoying. You're not like Sally from When Harry Met Sally. I've known those people. No, you are literally allergic to everything. And you're just like my stand partner in college who couldn't have bread, milk, or eggs.
Yeah, pretty much. That's the staples, like vegetables. devil's fruit. So it's just really freaking annoying all the time. So we went to California. We don't have a rental car. We're staying at this hotel on the beach. There's no grocery store within walking distance. Oh. We ended up ordering groceries. But one thing we forgot to purchase was, unfortunately, any kind of cream for coffee. At this hotel, there was just a coffee maker in the lobby where we could get black coffee, and then we had to add our own sweetener and cream, etc. So we're walking down the 3rd Street promenade looking for a place to buy some freaking almond milk. And Amber goes, I bet you could go into Starbucks and buy an almond milk, just like a tall almond milk. And I was like, no, there's no way they would do that. No, because at the grocery store, almond milk was like $8.50.
Right.
So I was like, no, there's no way they'd do that. So I was like, well, what the hell? We're passing a Starbucks. Let's go ahead and try. We go into Starbucks. We wait in line for like 10 minutes because California. And then we finally get up to the front. We order an almond milk. I'm just like, I'd like a tall almond milk. And I kind of squint my eyes and turn my head at the guy like, what you gonna do? He did not react one bit. He was like, hot or cold? Like, why would I want it hot?
Ew.
Of course I want cold milk, almond milk, you weirdo. It's just in cold. And he's like, name. So I ended up paying $2.50 for this enormous, like 20 ounces. It was more almond milk than I could drink in the days that I was there for $2.50. I was very impressed. So if you ever are in California and you need to buy some almond milk, but you're afraid to pay grocery store prices, at the Starbucks. It's a better deal than you'd expect.
I'm glad that you were able to figure that out.
Oh, no, I was not. That was Amber. It was all Amber.
So how do you milk an almond? I've got to know about this.
Even though I could come up with a funny answer to this, there's already a commercial.
Have the little like udder things on the almonds and they're milking them, like, almonds.
But the sad answer is you literally take 5 blanched almonds and you put them in a blender with water. That's how you make almond milk.
So why can't you do that yourself?
So the fact that it's $8 is just a racket. It's insane. Like a whole gallon of almond milk is like a small handful of almonds and a lot of water.
Are you serious?
Yeah. There's not really that many almonds in almond milk.
No, not only that, but I guess I just had this in my mind that nuts have oils. So I thought maybe they were like extracting the oils, like an essential oil, and making some kind of really big. They just crush them.
It's literally watered down almond butter without the peely husk part.
So you could do this yourself.
I do it all the time when I'm at home and I have a blender and a bunch of almonds.
And it tastes exactly the same?
No, it doesn't. You have to shake it constantly, because with commercial almond milk, they put a bunch of gels and foams and gums and stuff in it that keeps it suspended in the water.
Oh, my God. Right. You are really selling this. Yeah. Okay. So it's just crushed almonds and water.
With a bunch of food cellulose type products to keep it suspended in the water.
Because it actually is kind of like milk in that it separates, but they have to make it even less like milk by throwing in like xanthan gum and shit.
Xanthan gum.
Wait, so cellulose. They put in gelatin?
Gelin gum.
Oh, okay. So they don't actually put it, because gelatin would make it like non-vegan.
Not gelatin, because then vegans would get mad. Yeah, because that's like hooves and stuff.
Jello's my favorite vegetable. Why I grew up eating Jello salad.
Yeah, sure.
No. The green and orange ones are vegetables. All the other flavors are fruits. But only green and orange can be made into salads. No, definitely. Yeah, gelatin is made out of cows. Make no mistake about it.
Or horses.
not in America. Not anymore.
I mean, that's why there's that little horse head on the glue bottle, right? Elmer's glue. Doesn't it have a little horse head?
It's got a little bull. I thought it had a bull. It's got very curly hair. Horses don't have curly hair.
Oh, it is a bull. Okay, because it's made from bull hooves. Right? That's why they have it?
Maybe.
Okay.
Glue
is made from that bull, and just that bull that's on the Elmers. He's been in, they're still boiling him down. He was a big guy.
There's this product that I've had for months that I've been wanting to pull out on the show that I guess I never will. And because other people live in this house, it is gone.
What was it?
So there's this product that is a collagen supplement beverage, but the name of it is literally skin tea.
It's supposed to make your skin better?
And it is made from skin.
Oh, that's kind of like
animal collagen.
Wait, you drink it or do you put it on your face?
You drink it. No, you drink
it. How does that work? Like, how is drinking somebody else's skin making your skin better? That kind of feels like when you eat somebody else's brain so that you'll get their power.
You'll gain their knowledge. Yes.
Yeah. Like,
that's pretty much how it works. Yes. There's, as far as I know, there's never been any concrete proof that consuming any specific type of collagen allows you to also build that specific type of collagen, because it's just a protein and protein's broken down into amino acids when you eat it and used for whatever you need it for.
Well, but there's a lot of things that we eat that have no scientific basis.
Right, exactly. But on the flip side, there is proof that collagen supplements help with certain problems. So eating collagen is, for all intents and purposes, probably a good thing.
But it's not necessarily to make your skin better, but it might be to make your joints work a little better, maybe? I don't know.
Maybe when you boil down collagen from skin, it's got trace hyaluronic acid that causes benefits. I don't know. I have yet to figure it out, because I definitely read a lot about collagen. Like, you can't eat collagen and have it become collagen in your body. You break it down into amino acids, and then your body would build collagen from those amino acids. And you do it worse as you age, and that's why we get wrinkles.
You just need to eat more brains.
You just need to eat more skin tea.
Wait, do you chew it? Is it got that much skin in it?
I'll never know, because I meant to open it, and I can't find it. I meant to open it in front of you so I could do an honest review.
Oh, wait, so you bought this stuff specifically for the show, and somebody nabbed it.
Yeah. Sorry, Becky. No skin tea show for you. Maybe when you come to visit.
Yeah, I'm not drinking that shit. No.
I'm going to buy some when you come over.
Okay, so we've answered several questions today.
Oh, have we?
How do you milk an almond? How do you gain somebody else's skin properties? Know what's in your food, folks. Yeah, and there's a bull on your Elmer's glue for a reason.
Yeah.
Let's move away from this before we completely offend our guest. And let's also give a shout out to all of our new patrons and people who have upped their tiers. First of all, I want to give a shout out to Mel. She is the host of I Ghost Mio. It's a podcast that we've talked about here on the show. She's also been on the show. She has shared a lot of Cuban and Cuban American folklore on our show. She's just a wonderful individual. We've had a great time getting to know her personally over the years, and she upped her tier. So thank you so much, Mel, for that.
Thank you, Mel.
Also want to give a shout out to Kelly. We just heard from her last week, and she joined our Patreon. So Kelly, thank you so much. Kelly is the host of Let's Deconstruct a Story. She is also the author of multiple books. You can find out more about her at kellyforden.com, and she just became a patron. So thank you, Kelly, for that.
Thank you, Kelly.
And then finally, we have a patron. Their profile handle is John and Casey. So we don't quite know exactly what your name is, but we thank you very much for joining our Patreon.
Thank
whether you,
John,
be John
Casey.
Or Casey or somebody else. Thank you so much.
That is a good way to get a BOGO deal on our Patreon, is just to share an account.
That's true. People do that. Yep. We're not promoting that or anything. Just saying, you didn't hear it from us. We won't let the big wigs at Homespun Haint Corporate hear that we said that. Corporate.
Our bosses are so cruel.
Come down here with the whips all the time. Thank you so much for joining our Patreon and for upping your tiers. We appreciate it. You are the reason that we are able to go out to Tulsa on September 24th. Yes.
Yes, this is your fault.
I'm going to be flying to Tulsa on September 24th, 2023, and we will be live streaming as we open the haunted, sealed secret passageway.
Secret passage.
In Diana's basement. It has not been opened for a long time. We're guessing since the 50s.
Every time we guess, it's a longer time.
At one point, we said Victorian era, but we're going to go with the 50s. We're going to go with the 50s because I already designed the logo.
Has not been opened since before this house was built. How did we manage that? So supernatural.
Maybe it is like a spot in time that stays the same no matter what time.
Ooh.
And we're going to disappear into it and end up in another dimension or stuck with a triceratops or something. Who knows? But you guys will get to watch it. You go to homespunhaints.com/basement. And you can sign up for tickets for this live stream. Everybody who gets to be a part of the live stream gets to watch us as we conduct a seance. You get to participate as we do the actual unsealing. And then afterward, we will have a paranormal investigation. And everybody who gets a ticket will also be entered to win one of several prizes. Who knows what it will be? But definitely go check that out. homespunhaints.com/basement. And if you're a patron, you don't have to pay a cent. It's free for you.
Not one red cent. But if you're not a patron, only do you have to pay for tickets, but you have to hear this commercial. Sorry.
Today on the show, calling in from California, we have Mihaela Rowe. Mihaela is a tour guide on U.S. Ghost Adventures in Southern California, and you're also a language teacher with Stroman, stromaninc.com. You teach Romanian and other Latin languages, correct? Wow, that is incredible. I noticed your email address actually has professor in it.
I'm a professor, a retired professor, but this specialized, you never get retired from it. You'll be professor for all your life.
Yeah. Right. Yes, I know. I used to be one myself, so I totally understand. You are a ghost tour guide. You know so many stories from Southern California and other areas. Can you share some of those stories with us?
Of course. Some ghost stories from Santa Monica City, a beautiful city, especially Santa Monica Pier ghost stories. Santa Monica was founded in 1875. Prior to become part of United States in February 2nd, 1848, the land of Santa Monica, from Santa Monica to Santa Monica Mountains, and even a little bit further, was inhabited by an indigenous population called Tongva. In 1542, the region went under the Spanish rule, then it was passed to the Mexican Republic, and then into private ownership.
Are you tired of websites that have been Frankenstein together?
Oh, my website is so slow and creaky.
Every time I use the search bar, it just returns Abby Normal
over and over again.
Becky's sister company, The Concept Spot, holds the secret to life itself and can create new life from nothing. In fact, we've been giving life to highly functional websites for the last 25 years using premium parts we swear we didn't salvage from graveyards.
Ooh, check out that head. Image.
Instead of going,
my new website purrs.
Need a blog? The Concept Spot can do that. Want an online store? We can do that too.
We build our sites from the cellular level. No reused templates or discarded body parts here, so we can make your site do whatever you want and look however you want.
It's gorgeous! I can't even see the stitches.
We can also resurrect your dead website if rigor mortis has set in.
Oh, it's like a new man.
If you think Homespun Haints is frighteningly genius, you should see our websites. Let your favorite ghoulish gals, Becky and Diana, build you a monstrous website that will wreak havoc on the internet for years to come.
Visit theconceptspot.com for more information.
It's live! It's live!
Mihaela tells how the population around what is now Santa Monica exploded during the gold rush. One of the newcomers to the area, a mining supplier named Colonel Robert Baker, purchased the land from its current owner and sought the help from investors to make the area into a huge commercial center.
Colonel Robert Baker found two great investors. One of them was a beautiful lady of Mexican origin, Arcadia Bandini. She was a local lady, very wealthy, very skillful businesswoman, and very well connected, and very beautiful. Did I say very beautiful? And they got married. Of course, it was love. And the second investor was the U.S. Senator of Nevada, John Percival Jones, and his wife, Georgine. These two families founded the city of Santa Monica. The plan was to make here a huge commercial center.
As the city grew, so did the city's trash problem. Mihaela tells how the original Santa Monica Pier was constructed so the city would have a place to dump its trash into the ocean. However, the pier itself attracted crowds of people who enjoyed the novelty of walking along the ocean on the pier. Soon, the pier filled with vendors and amusement parks. In 1941, the city installed the famous Santa Monica Pier sign. And in 2012, Santa Monica trademarked the design of the sign and made it into an historical landmark.
Unfortunately, this sign welcomes not only the tourists and locals, but also the living dead. We have this phenomena in Santa Monica. Because of the beautiful weather, there are some unfortunate people. I'm talking about homeless people. Unfortunately, some of them die every year. Not even Santa Monica Police Department cannot say exactly how many because some of them cannot be found. And sadly, some of them can be victims of deadly attacks. One of the victims happened to be a homeless man who used to live under the pier in 2018. His spirit is specifically known to wander the ocean avenue looking frightened. Locals and employees reported many times they heard coming from underneath the boardwalk ethereal banging noises or even screams for help. Or even they saw foggy figures wandering the pier.
Mihaela next told us about another very haunted location near the pier, Palisade Park. Two cannons flank either side of the park, installed to commemorate the city's founders' devotion to providing housing for veterans of the Civil War.
Another place very haunted is the cannons in Palisade Park. Palisade Park is close to Santa Monica Pier, almost 1.5 miles across the edge of the city. Originally, this park was a gift from the founders, John Percival Jones and Arcadia Bandini de Baker, was a gift to the city in 1892. There are two cannons on each side of the park. The cannons were installed in 1908 as a tribute to the city's founders. In September 1912, Arcadia Bandini del Baker passed away, and in November the same year, the Senator John Percival Jones passed away too. From that moment, the cannons became not only a remembrance of the first city owners, but also their favored place to meet, to make their appearances like spirits. Many times were heard in the night the click, click, click of the satin heel shoes that Arcadia used to wear, or the jingle of her jewelry. Some accounts even said they were found some broken or fallen jewelries near the cannons. If you find it, don't pick it up, because Arcadia will want it back.
What happens if you do pick it up? Does she come haunt you?
Probably she will be pretty upset. Yeah. These spirits haunting Santa Monica City, they are non-confrontational. But it's better not to interact with them. Yeah.
Non-confrontational, as long as you don't rob them, yeah. Yes.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Not only these two notable spirits love to haunt the cannon in the night, also, ghosts of the Civil War soldiers meet here. When it happens, people hear muffled echoes of firing cannons, gunshots, and fight cries. Many times, groups of agitated crows like to congregate around the cannons like they carry messages from the underworld.
Ooh.
Yes, Palisade Park and the cannon were a designated historical landmark in 2007.
The Civil War cannons. Were they actual cannons that were used in the war?
Exactly. They were real cannons. Probably the cannons had a lot of drama because it's nothing more dramatical than a civil war.
So when people see the spirits of the soldiers around it, they could have been the soldiers that had been there with the cannons while they were in use, correct?
Exactly. These cannons were active. They killed people. And of course, usually the ghosts coming in this area, they have their own reasons. Practically, they didn't finish their business here. They died suddenly, or they were happy and they came to meet each other and somehow to reconnect with that happiness.
Our next haunted stop is the Arizona Avenue pedestrian bridge that overlooks the Pacific Coast Highway. The ghosts of car crashes can be seen both on the bridge and below on the highway. Notable are the spirits from one recent, particularly bad auto accident.
Another place haunted is PCH, Pacific Coast Highway, Arizona Avenue Pedestrian Bridge. If you want a prime location, lookout points to catch a glimpse of the ghosts, Arizona Avenue Pedestrian Bridge is the best because spirits love to walk on highest places and they used to haunt this bridge, especially spirits of the drivers and the people caught in car accidents. Some of them are still confused, scared, or looking for help. And one event, recent event, gone fatal, was in August 2021 on Pacific Coast Highway. It was a car crash. 9 cars were involved, 1 overturned. 1 person unfortunately died and 4 others were heavily injured. But many days after it, the drivers have seen foggy figures standing in the middle of the highway, then fading away before the cars run into them. And what is absolutely notable, usually spirits appear during the night, late night. The drivers reported these appearances during the day. And many ghosts are reportedly seen wandering on the bridge, solo or in group. Many times, they made themselves known by unusual smell or a sudden drop of the temperature, flickering street lamps or lights, foggy shadows, whispers, and unidentifiable voices. Also, sometimes the spirits don't make a physical appearance, but they make their presence with noises. Many times the people living in the beach houses reported to hear coming from the rooftops noises or to hear steps. But when they check, it wasn't any physical appearance. The noises still kept coming. This is indeed a very heavily haunted location.
Santa Monica gets its moniker from Saint Monica, a woman born in 331 in what is now Algeria. Married to a pagan Roman general, Saint Monica is known for her devotion to her children, her unwavering desire and eventual success to baptize her children, and her devotion to charity. She is also mother to Saint Augustine. Many young wives turn to Saint Monica for guidance in patience and strength. Of course, the city has a beautiful statue of St. Monica, honoring her memory.
Another extremely interesting place is around the Santa Monica statue. The story says in 1769, Father Juan Crespi visited the Tonva Sacred Springs, or Curuvunia, located in west side of Los Angeles. In Tonva language, Curuvunia means the place where we are in the sun. And he said the Curuvunia spring trees and the 2 springs of water and Curuvunia spring trees extending their branches over the springs of water. All this reminded Father Juan Crespi of Santa Monica's tears for her rebellious son, Augustine. Touched by this story, the founders of the city decided to keep this name of the city, Santa Monica. This 18-foot art deco statue was built in 1943. She's settled on the foot of Wilshire Boulevard, and Santa Monica is facing the city, like she's still watching, taking care and protecting the city.
You mentioned when you were talking to me in California that you had an experience with the statue that was very strange.
Yes, yeah. This is indeed an experience. It is impossible to meet the statue because she's exactly in the middle of your route, in the middle of your track, on the foot of Wilshire Boulevard. Even if you are blindfolded, you can find it. However, two times I missed her. And not just me, but also the group I was talking to, the group of my tourists. I was talking, they were listening. And I was talking, and passed by the statue, 18 feet tall. None of us saw it. Until I noticed why it's impossible. We went too far. We have to come back. And when we went back, she was there. Of course, she didn't disappear. But what was very weird, I was thinking maybe I was talking and talking. You can miss even an elephant. But not even my tourists could notice it. And they didn't talk. I asked them, did any of you saw the statue? No. When this happened to me the second time, I started to wonder, what explanation could possibly have? And I found only one explanation. Santa Monica wanted me to tell people about her story, because I used to tell people just about the statue. And this is explanation that I found. And after I started to tell people something about the historical character, she didn't disappear anymore. So I had this experience myself, and I consider it significant too.
So you said that the statue is 18 feet tall, correct?
Yes, 18 feet tall. Mm-hmm. She's taking care of the city. She protects our children from this world and from the other world. She helps us, gives us inspiration. That's why she is a kind of patron of our people, and very significant. And the city has its name, Santa Monica. She is the heart and the soul of our city. If you come here in Santa Monica, get in contact with usadventureghost.com and you will have a very amazing experience regarding these haunting places and the history of the city generally.
It's true. I heard so many more stories on the tour than you just told. So it's definitely, you haven't heard it all yet. If you're listening, you definitely still need to take this ghost tour. It's the U.S. Ghost Adventures Santa Monica Pier Tour.
Mihaela isn't just a ghost tour guide. She herself is no stranger to the spaces between this world and the next. In fact, she received life-changing advice once from a loved one in a dream.
I know that you have some stories of premonitions, that are personal.
Yes, for example, and I have these premonitions probably because of my Romanian DNA. My country is, I cannot say heavily haunted, but we have a very thin line between living world and the other world. So I have these premonitions, for example, when something bad happened to me or to someone that I care of. For example, I learned one of my colleagues lost a baby, unborn baby. And I didn't see that lady for so long time, years. And when I met her, she told me, yes, indeed, that moment I lost a baby, unborn baby. So colored was the dream. Or I had my dead one's loved one appearing in my dream and telling me what to do or what not to do.
Oh, really?
For example. Before coming in United States, I was thinking, should I come? Because you can imagine it's huge change. Sometimes it's difficult to move from a city to another city or from an area to another area of the same city. For me to change a life with other life was pretty scary. And I dreamt my father who told me, you have to go there because here you did what you had to do. And now you have to go in United States. You need to leave. And my father told me many, many times, he was a little bit pissing me off when I was child. And I have to admit, sometimes I was listening to him. Other time I would say, okay, I know better. But this time he was so, he persuaded me practically. He showed me, you have to go there, your life will be there. And I come and left everything behind and took here everything from the scratch. Maybe without his advice, I would still think even now. But I'm happy to come here because I met so beautiful people and so new places. I used to travel a lot, but now it's other kind of experience. Just to tell you, two of my sensorial paranormal experiences.
Romania is the land of Dracula. It is.
Yes, it is.
The inspiration for Dracula. Vlad the Impaler was supposed to be Dracula. That legend, you know, was written by an Irishman, Bram Stoker.
Exactly.
The story of Dracula. But I assume that he drew from Romanian culture when he was inspired to write that. Is that true?
Exactly. We believe in vampires. There are so many people having real experiences with vampires.
Really?
Yes, there are some, let's say, bad people doing all kind of sorceries, asking for help from the dark forces coming from underworld. We saw the results. We go to priest many times to ask for help to defeat these dark forces, and we see improvements. We believe in saints. We have a lot of holy relics making wanderings, like helping people to cure sicknesses like cancer, like whatever else that are difficult to cure. So we have this connection, and Dracula is emblematic for my culture because of Bram Stoker, but there are a lot of other vampires, not very notable, that can haunt people, especially usually someone can become a vampire if during the life that person did something despicable, something difficult, and the spirit is restless.
So it's not because they got bit or something, it's because of something they did.
Yes. And we have specific rituals to help them get in peace.
Okay, so once a person becomes a vampire, or if they're dead, then this is something you do to help them basically fully die and go to heaven, that kind of thing? Is that what you're talking about?
Exactly. So usually a lot of people who still have somehow a connection with our world, their spirits haunt. And if that person during the life, its life, used to do bad things, he keeps doing bad things, even like spirit.
I'm so fascinated because it's become such a big part of American culture too, but I'm sure it's so different here versus in Romania. So all of the legends about how a vampire can't see themselves in the mirror, or how garlic will repel them, or you can repel them with a sign of the cross, do those things apply in Romania as well, or are those more American things?
No. Yes.
Hollywood.
This is a kind of romance. Let's say Bram Stoker made a kind of love story, practically.
Okay. Yeah.
And Dracula was practically, in my country, to combat, if we want to annihilate a vampire, we have to go to the priest. And the priest will come to the grave and make an exorcism. And we need to, like siblings, we need to make some specificity to remembrance, to pray. And whatever the priest will say, we'll do it. Because we need to help our dead one to find his peace. Usually we consider this vampirism phenomena comes from pretty burdened conscience. And we have to somehow to help the spirit to be forgiven by God. Since this torment is, he is not let in, not even in the hell.
Right.
If you did too many bad things, so you need deep forgiven. And all community, with our priest, we pray for this restless soul to find the peace. We don't know if a vampire drinks blood.
It sounds very different there, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds
weird. We only get the fictional version.
Exactly, exactly. Don't forget, Bram Stoker was a great writer, and his purpose was to write a fictional novel, and he did it.
So it sounds more like a vampire is a tormented soul kind of stuck in a purgatory.
Exactly.
Is it different from a ghost that we would think of as a ghost?
I think it's not very much difference. Just as vampires, they keep doing bad things to scare people, to be aggressive. Mm-hmm. The ghost simply can just come and wander and haunt. For example, if it has suddenly death and didn't finish his mission on the earth, he is restless, but he's not aggressive. Mm. He comes like a ghost. He haunts, that the spirit haunts the place, but doesn't harm any people.
Okay, so a vampire would just be angry ghost, a harmful ghost.
Yes, can be aggressive, can scare people.
Okay, okay. But you don't have to dig up the body and cut off the head.
Exactly.
Wow. Oh, I learned so much today. Right? This is fascinating.
Yes. Thank you so
much.
Wow.
Thank
you.
I'm going to have to go talk to my husband and see if he knows any of these legends. Thank you so much for coming and talking to us. This has been wonderful. I know that we just got a little sliver of what we would encounter if we took one of your tours with U.S. Ghost Adventures in Santa Monica, but I really appreciate you coming on and sharing the
history
with us.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
It's good to see you again, and thank you for the interview and being our guest today.
I hope you will be here again to visit our excited city, Santa Monica.
If you want to meet Mahaila, you'd better take the Santa Monica tour specifically.
Santa Monica. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes. Good to know.
For now.
And you will see the statue now because you tell Santa Monica's history.
Yes.
Exactly.
And it wasn't in the dark, Becky. It was very illuminated. There were street lights. It was a major intersection. Somebody put a candle at her feet.
Exactly. Candles, flowers.
It was impossible to miss. Yeah.
She got her message across to you.
Yes.
Everybody, you've been listening to Mihaela Rowe calling from Santa Monica. She is a tour guide with U.S. Ghost Adventures in Santa Monica. She is a Latin language and Romanian instructor with Stroman. You can find that at stromaninc.com. We'll have links to all of that in our show notes, as well as some links to some of the places that she mentioned in the story so that you can go and do a little research on your own. And if you're ever in the Santa Monica area, be sure you look her up and take one of her tours.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
I'm so glad that I took that tour and met you, and it was an amazing experience. I loved being in Santa Monica. It's a beautiful place, and it was a fun time to hear your stories, and I definitely had a spooky day.
Homespun Haints is hosted by Becky Kielimnik and Diana Doty, and produced by Homespun Haints Media LLC. Editing and music by Becky Kielimnik. Show notes by Diana Doty. If you have a ghost story and you'd like to be considered as a guest for this podcast, please visit our website at homespunhaints.com/submit.